Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel account of the feeding of the 4,000 is perhaps a bit lesser known than the feeding of the 5,000. Matthew records both accounts in his gospel. Since both accounts have found a place into our annual lectionary of the church year, I like to point out some of the differences between the two miracles, the 5,000 and the 4. For example, the 5,000 were close to town so that the people didn't have far to go after Jesus dismissed them, while those 4,000 that we heard about today were, some of them, a long distance from their homes. The 5,000 were fed after one day of listening to Jesus and seeing the signs and wonders that he performed, whereas the 4,000 had stayed with Jesus for 3 days listening to his preaching. There were, of course, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish used to feed the 5,000. There were 7 loaves of bread and a few fish used to feed the 4. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers after feeding the 5,000 and 7 baskets full after feeding the 4,000. The 5,000 came mainly to see Jesus' signs and wonders, to see what to make of them and to get him to keep doing them for them, as we find out in St. John's account of it. Whereas the 4,000 came not only to have their wounds healed and their illnesses cured, but to listen to the words of Christ. The 5,000 tried to take Jesus by force and make him king at the end of the day, whereas the 4,000 glorified God. The 5,000 ended up walking away from Jesus, most of them, the next day after they pursued him and refused to accept him and believe in him as the true bread of life. No such thing is said of the 4,000. What's more, the lectionary includes the 5,000 during the season of Lent, and with good reason. And the 4,000 are before us today on this 7th Sunday after Trinity, early in this Trinity season. Now, what are we to make of these differences, especially given the similarity of the miracles themselves? Well, you might say that the main lesson of the feeding of the 5,000, as we hear it, especially from the Gospel of John during the season of Lent, was see the sign of Jesus' power and generosity in multiplying the loaves, and make the connection. This is the one who will provide bread for your souls. This is the bread of life, who can do so much more for you than just heal your illnesses and feed your bellies and help you for a brief earthly life. Trust in him as the promised Christ and seek his heavenly kingdom. So that miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, was directed mainly at those who didn't yet or would never believe in Jesus. Then we come to today's gospel, the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, where the main lesson, you might say, is this. You who have left homes and traveled far to stay with Jesus, who have continued with him to hear the preaching of his word, who have glorified God for sending Jesus to you, you were right to follow him. You were right to trust in him, to take care of both your body and your soul. Now see how he cares for you. See how he makes sure that you are taken care of as you follow him. This miracle is directed toward believers, toward Christians who end up suffering some earthly need or loss or trouble, especially for following Jesus, to comfort them and to assure them that he will not leave them to faint along the way, but will provide the help that they need in their distress. Let's consider some of the details recorded in Mark's gospel. Jesus saw the multitudes there with nothing to eat and said to his disciples, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have already stayed with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes without eating, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance." Notice what Jesus values about this crowd. "They have already stayed with me for 3 days." Now, the fact that these people had remained with Jesus for 3 days doesn't make them worthy of eternal life or worthy of the forgiveness of sins. But their remaining with him was a sign of their believing, of their interest in his word. And for his believers, Jesus has a compassion that is especially great. These are people who bear his name, Christians, who have been given the right to be called children of God. And here Jesus displays the compassion that God has on his children and his unwillingness that they should be left to go hungry or to faint along the way as a result of having stayed with Jesus. Then there's the response of the 12 apostles, which is rather astonishing. "Where can we get bread from here in the wilderness to satisfy these people?" This miracle took place after the feeding of the 5,000. Had they forgotten already? Don't they remind you, though, of any number of long-time Christians, maybe even yourself? You have known for years, maybe decades, the riches of God's mercy and love in the redemption that Jesus accomplished on the cross for you. You have known and believed the epistle that you heard today, Romans 6:23, maybe all your life. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You've also known his providence throughout your entire life. And then you're faced with an earthly trial, with a need, with a problem, and then suddenly, where is God? What are we to do? How can we survive? We're going to have to figure it out for ourselves, obviously. The sinful flesh wars against the new man, who knows very well that God is faithful, but the flesh insists that he is not. That this time will be different. This time he won't care. This time he won't help. This time he will let you faint along the way. Not so. Your flesh is a liar, like the devil himself, with whom your flesh is allied. And that's just what Jesus illustrates for us in today's gospel. But without the multitude's worry, without the multitude's request, and in spite of the disciples' forgetfulness, Jesus foresaw their need and took care of it. "How many loaves do you have?" "7, and a few small fish." Well, that's more than enough. It's even more than the last time Jesus fed an even larger crowd of people. Jesus is more than capable of providing for any earthly need. The 4,000 had left home and pantry and employment in order to hear Jesus because they believed that he was the Christ, sent from God to save them from their sins and to gain eternal life for them. Their hunger was the direct result of that decision on their part to stay with Jesus. They put the needs of their souls before the needs of their bodies, and they weren't disappointed in the end. How have you done likewise, you who confess Jesus to be the Christ, who suffered for our sins, and who was raised to life for our justification? Well, you could be sleeping right now. You could be relaxing at home. You could be working right now, making money, putting more bread on the table. But you've recognized that it's more important to be here hearing Jesus, receiving the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You could be out there jumping into all the filth and pleasure-seeking that the world around you pursues with insatiable passion, but you've repented of all that and renounced all that to be called by the name of Christ crucified and to walk as saints, as baptized children of God in a new life. You could belong to a larger church, as most of you once did, with all the earthly perks and comforts that go along with it. But you've left all that behind too, to follow Jesus into a church like ours that most of the world despises as insignificant and tiny and foolish. So, have you experienced some earthly troubles after staying with Jesus for a while? What will you do? Will you worry about how you can solve those problems by yourself? Will you forget that Jesus is faithful and more than capable of seeing to your needs? No, remember the compassion of Jesus for the multitude who followed him. Remember his care to provide for them lest they faint along the way. And know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He cares for you, his chosen people, no less than he did for those. Today's gospel teaches you not to lose heart. When you grow weary, when you become sorrowful, when you run into obstacles in your life of following Christ, he'll see to it that your need is taken care of, and he'll be faithful to send just the right help at just the right time. Whether it's food, or a friend, or a word of hope, or some other timely help, the Lord Jesus will see to it that you have exactly what you need when you need it, so that from the abundance that the Lord provides to you, you can then help your fellow Christians in their time of need, and so that you can continue to follow him all the way through this life and into the next, trusting in him every step of the way, both for the forgiveness of sins and for everything else that you need. You were right to continue with the Lord Jesus. He has brought you safely thus far. He certainly won't let you faint along the way to the mansions that he's preparing for you even now. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.